All right, good evening. That's better. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church tonight. If you can, let's stand. We're going to sing Jesus is Coming Again. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it will be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it will be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past, feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, it will be soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Good to see you back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your blessings this morning. Ask again for your help and your blessings tonight on the services. Be with the preacher as he preaches. Give him your power. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all get something from the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, some golden daybreak. Some golden daybreak, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will peace. Heartaches all ended, school days all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Sad hearts will gladden, all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you.
Always blessed to have folks visit with us. Anyone here for the first time or the first time in a long time? Good to have you guys back. Good to see the brothers. It's been a while since they've been here. Yeah. All right. These folks to pray for, again, mentioned this morning. Lots of different sizes, so I was told that there are 32 to 38s as far as the waist size, and then there's lots of those the t-shirt type of shirts. Then there's also the button shirts. There's some suit jackets, and then there's also some lady clothes in there as well. They was given to us by somebody else. What doesn't get taken tonight, I'm supposed to take back to them because they have some folks coming to pick the clothes up Tuesday, so I have to. So tonight's the only night that they'll be there. If you can use those clothes, it will save you having to buy them someplace else. But again, they're on the tables in there, so go in afterwards, and if there's something you can wear, take them home with you. Don't forget all the normal stuff going on this week, which means Wednesday night, 7:30 for prayer and Bible study, Thursday night, soul winning, 6:45, Friday night, youth activity, 6 to 7:30, and then Saturday, bus visitation at 9:30, soul winning at 10:45. Back in your places for Sunday school and church. The next event on the big event on our calendar is November the 17th. That is a Thursday night. Brother Owens will be with us on that night. We'll switch our Wednesday and Thursday evening. It's a little less than a month away. And then we'll have the youth conference or the youth meeting on a Friday and Saturday over at Texas Baptist. Friday night starts at 7. Saturday morning starts at 10. Everyone's welcome to come to that as well. But again, that is the next big event coming up on the calendar. And then after that, it won't be too long till Valentine's. But again, I did not get the books put away this week, so I know someone bought some this morning. So since I didn't have time to get the books put away, if you still want something before we put them away this week, I shouldn't have a problem getting them put up this week. I had teachers sick last week, so I had to teach more than usual, so that's why it didn't get done. But again, if you want some books off the table, please get those. It's a lot easier to get them now. I always have people after we put them up, I'll have folks, okay, was there any of these books left? And then I have to open up every book and go through the box and try to find it. And I'm crazy enough to do that because I'm crazy enough to do that. But I can tell you it's a lot easier to do it off the table right now, tonight, rather than a week from now. Ask me, can you see if any of those are left? So, again, if there's some books on the table that you'd like, there are some good books there. Take advantage of it.
All right, if you can, let's stand as a volunteer. A call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? And when the war is over and the victory won, when the true and faithful gather one by one, he will crown with glory all who there appear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. And as always, we're just so grateful for the blessings that you give to us and pray that this offering help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
A blessing, one of the Fanny Crosby songs. All right, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
First Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, and thy faithfulness every night.
Psalm 92, the first few verses. We sing it in teen class all the time. That's where Kurt probably heard it.
Actually, I don't play the harp. I can kind of play an alto harp. I have thought about bringing it and playing it sometime, but I haven't, and I may not. Who knows? Revelation chapter 10 tonight. For a number of months on Sunday evening, we've been preaching on what in theology is called eschatology, the doctrine of the last things. And we've talked about the rapture and the judgment seat. And we're now talking about what's known as the tribulation period, also known as the 70th week of Daniel. It refers to that 7-year period on earth after the rapture when the wrath of God is poured out on a God-hating, Christ-rejecting world. And interestingly, as we've seen in, for example, back in chapter 7, there'll be two things taking place simultaneously, at least during the early part of that period, and that will be the judgment of God in various, the judgments of God, I guess I should say. But also, a great number of people are getting saved, according to Revelation chapter 7, after telling about the 144,000 Jewish witnesses. Then he says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And so I don't want to go back and re-preach something I already did, but a lot of people get saved during the tribulation, as I understand the Bible, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, those who were presented with the gospel prior to the rapture and rejected Christ will not have a chance to be saved after the rapture. Rather, God will send them strong delusion. That's what he said. And they'll believe the lie of the Antichrist. And so those things are happening. Now, chapter 10, and we'll read the first seven verses. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. I want you to notice that expression in verse 7, the mystery of God. And I'm going to speak to you for a little while tonight on that subject, the mystery of God. Now, Lord, we approach this final book of the Bible again tonight. And, Lord, you gave it to us to be preached in the churches, you told us in the last chapter. And so here we are in one of your churches and preaching and studying this book. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit will help me to do a good job for you. And I pray that the Word of God might be a blessing to your people. If there's anybody with us who's never trusted Christ as Savior, draw them to Him and help them to come to Him and be saved. Please help now in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text passage, we're told of God's representative setting his feet, one on the sea and the other on the land, setting forth in symbolism the fact that God is getting ready to take possession of this earth completely and totally, both land and sea, establishing a worldwide universal kingdom ruled over by the one who redeemed the earth, that is the Lamb of God, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the symbolism involved in the appearance of this mighty angel planting his feet on the earth and the sea. Then, in addition to this appearance of the angel and the symbolism associated with that appearance, the mighty angel also makes an announcement that reinforces this symbolism of the takeover and possessing of the earth by the Lord God. The announcement of this mighty angel takes the form of a solemn oath, a solemn vow, in the name of the eternal Creator that essentially the end is at hand. The announcement declares that there will be no more time, no more delay in the fulfillment of God's purpose and plan, but that when the seventh trumpet angel sounds out the blast on his trumpet of judgment, it will result in the conclusion and culmination of God's prophetic program. This is the essence of the angel's announcement. God is getting ready to bring this age to its conclusion. He's getting ready to take over himself. Now, this mighty angel makes this appearance and this announcement. If my time frame of this 7-year period is correct, and it could be, it could not be, all these things will happen. I'm just not sure that I've got it placed exactly where it went. But as I see it, at any rate, the first, all the way up through the sixth trumpet, is the first half of the tribulation. Then chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13, and to some degree even chapter 14, deal with things that take place basically simultaneously at the midway point of the tribulation, and then after that you have the final 3.5 years. This mighty angel makes this appearance and this announcement, as I see it, at the midway point of the tribulation period. The church, and by that I mean what is referred to in Hebrews 12:23 as the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, that's every saved person, the church had been removed via the rapture 3.5 years earlier, and the first 3.5 years of the tribulation have already transpired with terrible judgments on the earth. But now, with 3.5 years remaining, conditions on earth are going to get even worse. At this midway point, the seventh trumpet judgment will occur, and this mighty angel announces that the seventh trumpet judgment will usher in the conclusion of the entire matter. It's from the seventh trumpet judgment that all the rest of the judgments of the tribulation that we'll see in upcoming studies proceeds. It all comes from the seventh trumpet, which itself came from the seventh seal, you remember. In making this announcement concerning the conclusion of this time period and the ushering in of the next, which will be God's kingdom, notice the wording of the announcement that the angel makes in verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So notice that he refers to the transfer of this world from this present sinful stage to the kingdom of righteousness over which Christ himself will rule and reign. He refers to it here as the mystery of God being finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, so notice that expression, the mystery of God. I want us to focus for a little while on this expression and see what we can learn concerning the mystery of God. Now, I'm going to look at basically two things, but don't get in a hurry, because I got three things under each of the two things. So I guess I got six things, but two main things. We're first going to consider the definition of a mystery, and then secondly, we're going to consider the description of this mystery. Did you get that? So first then, the definition of a mystery. We need to first of all try to figure out exactly what the Bible is referring to when it speaks of something being a mystery. For you see, the word mystery, as it's used in the Bible, goes further in its meaning than what we normally mean when we use the word mystery in our day and time. When we talk about a mystery, usually what we're talking about is something along the lines of a detective story, a Sherlock Holmes adventure or something like that. And what we mean is we mean something that's mysterious, that is, something that's puzzling, an enigma, a riddle, something that's difficult to understand. Now, the word in the Bible goes a bit further and a bit deeper than that. It is something mysterious, but it's more than that in the Bible. So let me point out three things. So here comes the first three. Three things about the word mystery in the Bible as I seek to explain the word as to its definition, scripturally speaking. You ready? Number one, this word mystery is a strictly New Testament word. What I mean is this word mystery is never found in the Old Testament. It's only in the New Testament. So then that's the first thing. It's a strictly New Testament word. Somebody says, boy, I hope the other ones go by as quick as that one did. Don't worry, they won't. Number two, this New Testament word, mystery, is, now I'm going to explain this after I say it, but let me say it first. This New Testament word, mystery, is a transliterated word rather than a translated word. Now, let me try to explain. Our King James translators, in giving us our King James Bible, did two things with the words. Listen closely. Some words, most of them in fact, they translated. Now, that means that they took the word in the original language, found the equivalent word in the English language, and put the English equivalent in the King James Bible. And again, most words in our Bible are translations. Now let me show you an example. Look at verse 7 there. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, notice the word voice. Now the Greek word is phoné. Doesn't that sound, that might remind you of something. It's where we get the word telephone from. So the English equivalent word to the Greek word phoné is voice. So they translated the word phoné, and we got voice. Do you follow what I'm saying? So most of the words of the Bible, they translated. They found the English equivalent word and put that in. However, some words, a few words, they didn't translate, they transliterated. Now what that means is that rather than finding the equivalent English word, they took the word as it existed in the original language and gave that word an English spelling, anglicized it, and brought the word over from the original language directly into the English language. Can I show you an example? Notice verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, you see that word angel? The word angel, the Greek word is angelos. Now then, can you see some similarity between the Greek word angelos and the English word angel? That is a transliterated word. They took the original, the word in the original language and anglicized it and brought it directly over into the English language. Now, if it had been translated as opposed to transliterated, as it sometimes is in the Bible, it would say messenger. That's what the word angel means, a messenger. But rather than translating it, messenger, they transliterated it and came up with angel, angelos, angel. I hope you see what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, and my point is, the word mystery is an English word that is a transliteration rather than a translation. The word mystery or mysteries is found 27 times in the New Testament, and each time it's the same Greek word. The Greek word is mysterion. Hear any similarity? So you see how that word mysterion was taken and brought over directly into English with the English spelling becoming mystery. Mysterion, mystery. So, number one, this word mystery is strictly a New Testament word. It's never in the Old Testament. Secondly, this New Testament word mystery is a transliterated word rather than a translated word. Number three, this New Testament word mystery was a common word used among the pagan religious societies of the day, known as the mystery religions. The way the word was used among the mystery religions, you can take the word mystery out and put false in there if you want to, but at any rate, the way the word was used among the mystery religions of the day corresponds to a concept still used in our day by some false religions and by various lodges. It's used to refer to hidden secret things which could only be known by being revealed by those who knew them, and they were only revealed to those who had been initiated into the place where they were deemed ready to receive them. Let me illustrate. I hope none of you are Masons. If you are, I'm going to say it anyhow. You ought to get out of that Luciferian thing before you get to the final level where you find out that it's Luciferian. Now, I'm not an expert on the Masonic Lodge. You say, yeah, I gathered that. Well, you'd be right. But as I understand it, there's supposed to be 33 levels in the Masonic Lodge. Now, what they do is this. When a person gets on that first level, then they reveal some things to that person that he didn't know before he got to that first level. Then when he achieves the second level, they reveal some other things to him that he didn't know when he was on the first level. And then when he gets to the third level, the same thing all the way up to the 33rd level. You see what I'm saying? Now, these revelations that are made to people as they were initiated to various levels were mysteries, mysterion. Now, putting all these things together, here's what a mystery is talking about in the New Testament. It's talking about something that can only be known, hear me, not by human wisdom and human research, but by God revealing it, and only the initiated, in this case the saved, receive this revelation from God. A mystery, some have said, is a previously hidden truth that we can only know if and as God allows it to be known. It's something that we could never figure out by human knowledge and wisdom. We would never know unless God had revealed it in His Word. Now, there are things that we can figure out by human knowledge and human wisdom. For example, we can figure out, well, some of you can, I hadn't figured it out yet, can figure out how to fix a car. Well, an old car, these cars, the new ones, they make them so you have to take them back in and pay several hundred dollars to get anything done to them, but if you get an old car, that still runs. I mean, I can remember when I could fix a car. I mean, precious memories. By human knowledge and human wisdom, a person can figure out how to operate a business, that sort of thing. And there are other things that that you can figure out based on human knowledge and human wisdom. But hear me now. Other things we would never be able to figure out by human knowledge. We only know them because God revealed them in His Word. These are mysteries, things only known by God's revelation and only known as God reveals them to His people, those initiated into His kingdom and His family by faith in Jesus Christ. Can I show you an example? Well, I'm going to, whether you say it's okay or not, but I thought I'd be nice, or at least try to be. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a very familiar passage, as it should be. 1 Corinthians 15, notice beginning in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. And what is that mystery? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the living, shall be changed. For this corruptible, that is the dead, must put on incorruption, and this mortal, the living, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And so he said, I'm going to show you a mystery here. The mystery of the rapture. The information given right here, hear me, the information given right here about the rapture, we would never know it if God hadn't told us about it in the Bible. That's what a mystery is. Something. Now, you read the entire Old Testament, you'll never come up with that. God said, I'm showing you a mystery, and I'm going to show you something that previously was hidden in the depths of my omniscience, but now I'm going to reveal it to my people, the initiated, the saved. And so that is the definition of a mystery. I hope you got something out of that. Okay, now go back to Revelation chapter 10 and let me now talk about the description of this mystery. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Okay, now notice three things that we're told in this verse about this particular mystery. Number one, it's called the mystery of God. Is that what your King James Bible says? That's what mine says. I think I got the right version. So it's called the mystery of God. Number two, it will be finished or concluded in connection with the seventh trumpet judgment, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And number three, this concluding of this mystery was declared by God to His Old Testament prophets. We're told those three things just in that verse. Okay, what is this particular mystery? This secret hidden thing which can only be known by God revealing it, but which will be concluded as the seventh trumpet brings about the final judgments of the tribulation and the new age of Christ's rule is ushered in, as God declared it would be again and again by his Old Testament prophets. What is this particular mystery? Okay, let me show you what I believe this mystery of God to be referring to based on the information given in the passage. Look back a page or two to Revelation chapter 6. We studied this before, but I just want us to read about the fifth seal judgment. Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. These martyred saints of God in heaven during the tribulation period are asking for an answer to a question that they do not understand, a mystery, if you please, that can only be understood by God revealing it, and so they ask God for the information. Their question is, how long will God tolerate the seeming triumph of the devil and his crowd over God's people? Now, in Revelation chapter 10, the question is answered. In the days of the seventh trumpet judgment, as this age closes and the age of Christ's kingdom begins, this mystery that has troubled God's people from the time sin came into the world will be finished. At that point, God will set things right. Sin will be put down. Righteousness will be exalted. God's people will receive victory and reward, and the wicked will be judged. This mystery of God is the mystery of sin and suffering. It's the mystery of why godly saints suffer while rebellious sinners seemingly prosper. It's the mystery of God's toleration of wickedness and evil in his creation. It's the mystery of why God, who created this world and universe, has allowed his archenemy Satan to rule this earth for so long as the God of this world. It's the mystery of evil prospering and righteousness being trodden underfoot in this world. It's the mystery of God allowing evil to continue for so long in this world with apparent impunity. It's the mystery of the long delay of the Lord in setting up his righteous kingdom. It's the mystery of the whole purpose and plan of God during this time of thousands of years while his creation has been ruled by Satan. That's the mystery. This mystery that has puzzled God's people for thousands of years, which has caused God's people to cry out, How long, O Lord, are you going to tolerate this? How long before you take over, establish righteousness, and put down sin? How long before you avenge the innocent blood of your saints at the hand of the wicked who shed their blood? And now, here in chapter 10, the angel announces, Time's up to the devil's crowd. That mystery will be concluded with the seventh trumpet as God concludes the tribulation, takes over himself, and sets things right. Then we'll understand as this mystery is brought to light and revealed to us by the God of heaven. Now, Christian, you may be facing some situation that you don't understand. You've tried to serve the Lord as best you can, yet you seem to have nothing but trouble, while the devil's crowd seems to prosper and get ahead. It's a mystery. But that mystery will be concluded, and God will set things right. The mystery of God.